you really need to repent. And you need to get some inner healing and get issues dealt with from your past so that those issues won't be used by the enemy to destroy your relationships now. Okay? There's always mercy and there's always repentance. The key is there has to be true repentance. I will not do a wedding ceremony for people who haven't had some inner healing, if they've been divorced, who haven't had inner healing and dealt with their issues, not blaming the other person. No, why were you drawn into that relationship? Why didn't you get the grace to make it work, okay? So I'm setting this up to show you, if you're a young person here and you're born again of the Spirit of the Lord, which most of you are, if not all of you, then God wants you to listen to this. You can't just randomly go out there and join your spirit with someone else. And you can't go into a relationship thinking it's going to work. God is, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't want you to go through the pain of divorce. He doesn't want you to go through the pain of having children go from this parent to that parent and all these things that are happening. Because he's a loving God. He does have someone for you. He does have someone, and you're going to like him. I'm going to show you this in a minute. God's not going to send somebody into your life that you're not going to be hot for, okay? He's not a dumb God. He set everything up. He put all the hormones the way he put them. He put everything together the way he did it. He's not some old fogey who doesn't figure out how all this should work. I mean, he's the one who did it all, not the devil. The devil just perverted it to cause hardship and pain and disease and death. God's the one who came up with the whole thing. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. And like I said, you can read the first part is all on teaching. If you didn't get that, you can get the CD when it's out. And we probably will be playing the DVD of it on occasion when I'm out of town for those who didn't get to come. It's very powerful. I really, really want you to understand the heart of God and how this works. Now remember, the Lord sees this so powerfully because his Holy Spirit is going to bring someone else into your life who has the Holy Spirit. And together, when that union comes, God's going to do a powerful work that will never end in divorce. The only reason the Lord says you can ever separate as a believer is if there is the case of adultery, and that's because marriage represents the bride of Christ and the Lord. And if someone chooses to walk away from God and do the unforgivable sin, blaspheme God and say, I don't want you anymore, I'm deep in you. I've tasted and seen how good you are. I know how real you are. But I really, really want to go and be a Buddhist, or I want to go and be a Muslim, or I want to go and be a religious person. I don't want this true born-again relationship being led by the Spirit of God. At that point, there is a severance that never can be changed. It's the unforgivable sin. I'm not talking about somebody who's just hurt and running from God. I'm talking about somebody who blatantly divorces God. So the Lord says, because the husband and wife in a godly marriage represent to the world what it's going to be like to be married to Christ, if one of them is unfaithful, you can sever that and walk away totally free. Now, that doesn't mean you have to. There's still always room for repentance in a natural relationship because of everybody's issues involved, okay? Now, but two believers born again by the Spirit of the Lord, whoever you marry or really are intimate with, the Lord sees you as married. So you need to really be serious about waiting. It's a fornication until you actually get married in a ceremony that the government recognizes. And at that point, you are just really backslidden from the Lord. You're really running from God. And you need to come to a place to deal with your lust, deal with your hurt, deal with the pain, deal with the stuff society is pouring at you, because it's pouring it at you, so that you can get right with God. And you can always turn and get right with God. Okay? So let's see what Paul says here about marriage. And remember, Paul is a man who never had a desire for intimacy that way. He really was somebody who was given the gift to live his life not married. And that's very few people probably who have that gifting. So he kind of doesn't get it. So, okay? So Paul never gets it why men want to be married, but he's at least trying to explain it biblically how it's okay. Know this, he wasn't real big on marriage, but God is. Okay, God's really big on marriage. God starts the Bible about marriage. He ends it about the bride in Christ. I mean, the whole thing's a love story about being one. And Paul was able to get into a realm where he was so one with God that he never needed or had a desire for a natural marriage. Okay, which is fine. But it's a gifting, and he even talks about that. All right, 1 Corinthians 7. 25. But about virgins, okay. In their history of the Jewish culture, if you weren't a virgin, you were stoned to death most of the time or totally put away. So Paul's not even thinking for one second that a single person would be getting married who wasn't a virgin. Now, culture has changed. God hasn't changed, but our standards has changed. And so let me say this. If you are not a virgin and you're not married, you can be a virgin in the sense of if you really repent because you understand, you know God now, or you didn't understand some of these things, you had pain and you've made mistakes in the past and you really repent from those, and you can be a virgin. We've even had people prayed for who had lost their virginity, and then God ministered to them, healed them. And on their actual wedding night, there were indicators that God had given them back their virginity. What an awesome God. But let me tell you, in Bible days, if you married someone and there wasn't proof that they were a virgin, she would be stoned or put away the next morning. And God also expected the men, these Jewish men, were to live holy lives because of what they represented, and they were under strong of the law. Okay, now we have God inside of us. Everything before God's inside of us is just trying to get by, okay? So it's all forgiven when you find Christ. After Christ, we need some healing, deliverance from those things that have happened in our past. So when I say virgins here, it's everyone who has repented of any sexual sin, and they mean it. They're not going back there. They may need God to help them with that. They may need some deliverance there, but you're getting his revelation, you're trusting him, you're believing him, and you want to do it his way. And that would make you, in the eyes of God, if you've really repented, a virgin, okay? So he says, about the virgins. These are single people who are going after God. I have no command from the Lord, but I give judgment as having received mercy by the Lord to be faithful. So he's telling you, I don't know for sure how God wants to do this, but I'm going to try to tell you what to do. He says, then I think this to be good because of the present necessity that it is good for man to be thus. So he talks about, have you been bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Okay, this is about people who are married. I guess we didn't even get into this yesterday, did we? Okay. If you've been bound to a wife, do not seek to be released. Have you been released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you also marry, you do not sin. So what he's saying here, if you're single now, he would tell you to stay single if you used to be married. You weren't a Christian, now you're a Christian. If you're single, stay married. But he goes, but if you marry, it's not a sin. If you marry because you weren't a Christian, you're now a Christian, you're now single, you can marry. If you've been released from a wife, do not seek a wife. But if you also marry, you do not sin. And if the virgin marries, okay, if the single marries, she does not sin. But such will have trouble in the flesh, so I want to spare you. But I say this, brothers, that the time has been cut short, for the rest is that even the ones having wives should be as not having wives. And those weeping is not weeping, and those rejoicing is not rejoicing, and those buying is not possessing. And those using this world is not abusing it, for the mode of this world is passing away. I desire you to be without care. What he's talking about here is everything in the world is going to get, as we come to the end times, things are going to become so focused on Jesus that even married couples will be more about God than they will be about day-to-day life. That is what he's talking about. As we get, and you can really see that in the church. As we get closer to the return of Christ, people's focus is going to be more on Jesus than on day-to-day life. So he's saying even those who are married, or it's almost going to be as if they're not married, because their focus is going to be so on Christ and his return and preaching the kingdom and doing the things of the kingdom. Okay. He says, I desire you to be without care. The unmarried one cares for the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the one marrying cares for the things of the world and how to please the wife. The wife and the virgin are different. The unmarried one cares for the things of the Lord, that she be holy in both body and spirit. But the married one cares for the things of the world, how to please the husband. Now, this is really for single people who are older, or just people who are really going after the Lord. What he's saying here, listen, ladies, if you marry, you're going to have to be the submissive wife. You're going to have to spend time being busy at home and taking care of things and keeping everything in order. But if you would get the grace from God to remain single, you can just live for God. You can just really live for God. Now, this teaching is really for a lot of the women in this place and some of the men who've already been married, been divorced, or have children, were never married, but they still have this idol, I've got to have another person in my life. And Paul's speaking to you and he's saying, look, you can totally live for God. And you need your heart then. We talked about this yesterday. It needs to be, you cannot see, I need this husband or I need this wife, and then I'll get to the things of God. I need this husband, then a wife, then my needs are going to be met, and then I can do what the Lord wants. What he's saying, no, you need to get your focus on the Lord. We talked about this yesterday. And then if the Lord brings someone, you're just going to keep that focus on the Lord together. You're just going to keep walking that together. But so many people have idolatry about getting married. Like they have to have someone. And God wants you to know your needs need to be met in Christ. Your needs need to be met in Christ. And then if the Lord brings someone, it's okay. If he brings someone and you've got your heart right with God and you're focused on the Lord. But Paul is saying, look, your focus needs to really be on the Lord. Don't you know if your focus is on the Lord, you won't have to be so busy with the things of the world. You won't have to be so focused on the things of keeping the marriage and these things. But he's warning you in a way that if you have your focus on getting married, then you're really focused on being like the world. And when you really minister, especially at women's conferences and single women, I mean, I've had women come in just the last couple of weeks and say, I feel like God has failed me because he hasn't brought me a husband. And I'm thinking, you know, you already have children, or you've been married before. You know, why do you have this deep, deep need for a husband? And we're going to be talking on Tuesday night about security. Some of it's because you want a nicer house. You want somebody to pay the bills. Or you still haven't gotten free from lust and the need for sexual pleasure. Instead of just really having your heart towards God. God wants to heal all these things, deal with all these things. And they're real issues, and we really should be able to talk about them in church. And we should be able to come up and talk about them and not be ashamed to say, I'm struggling with this. But Paul is saying here, look, we're in the end days. Get your focus on Jesus. Get your focus on Jesus. He understood that these things of the world didn't affect him because his eyes were so on the Lord. His eyes were so on the Lord. He goes on and he says, verse 35, and I say this for your advantage, not that I put a snare before you, but for the fitting thing and waiting on the Lord without distraction. But if anyone thinks that they're behaving indecently towards their virgin, if she is beyond her prime, and so it ought to be. And what he's saying here, look, if you're crossing lines in your relationships, if you're crossing lines, if what you're doing is causing some conviction, if what you're doing is causing you to think, you know, I'm kind of playing with this woman's emotions or I'm playing with that guy's emotions, it's kind of like I'm leading them on, I'm getting them stirred up in ways. Then he says, let him do what he desires. He does not sin. Let them marry. What the Lord's saying here, look, if that passion, is in that relationship, and you've gotten your whole life together, and you've gotten things straight, and Jesus is first, and he's the priority, and there really is this desire in you. What he's saying here, don't flirt with each other. Don't play games with each other. Don't get into a relationship with someone who wants to get married when you have no intentions of getting married. Isn't it amazing they had all these same things back in Bible days? He's saying you really need to keep your eyes on the Lord, but don't hurt each other. Don't play games with each other. If you're really in a situation, and there have been women who have been with a guy for years, always with the belief they're going to get married. It's become an idol for them. And then it comes down to the situation where they've let their prime go by. That's what this is talking about. You know, if you're in a situation with a woman a long time and you have no intentions of marrying her, you have no intentions of taking the relationship to the next place, you're fine with the friendship, then you need to make sure this is communicated to that person. Because when Paul says the woman's at the prime, he knows women have a certain time, if they want to have children, that they need to be married and doing this the Lord's way. So Paul is actually here talking to the Corinthian church. Remember, the Corinthian church had all kinds of mess in it. It could have been an American church. And he's just setting things in order. He's not saying, God told me I have to say it this way. This is just what I believe. I just believe that if you're dating and you're dating and she's serious and you're not serious, it's wrong to be dating if both of you don't have the same intentions. And he's saying, no, there's nothing wrong with choosing to live your whole life serving God. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong if you're leading somebody else on. It's wrong if you're using somebody else. It's wrong. And if you're really starting to get desires or stirring up desires in that other person, it's time to get married and do this thing in a way that glorifies God. You know, this is a message that really needs to be preached in a lot of our churches. There is a lot of this kind of stuff going on in church. There are a lot of women being led to believe that somebody's going to marry them. There's women in the church who are having children who really know God, and they're not married because they get into these situations. And God wants us to wake up. And one thing I want you to wake up to is you do not have to have a husband to be fulfilled in the Lord. You do not have to have a husband to have the vision for your life, to have the finances for your life, to have these things. And Paul's seeing this need in that church, and he's telling people, look, get your eyes on the Lord. Make sure the Lord's putting this thing together. You need to be very careful in male and female relationships in the church. You need to be very careful that you don't have another motive, or you're not getting a need met, or you're not leading somebody on, or you're not being used by the enemy to bring division in somebody's home, or take somebody away from the call in their life, or take somebody away from maybe an unbelieving spouse that God is still believing for them to get it right, for that person to be saved. You need to make sure that you're not being used by the enemy to cause someone who's having some issue in their family. But they're born again believers, and there's not a way out except for adultery. You need to make sure Satan's not using you to set up that scenario of adultery. I'm telling you, if you're the adulteress, if you come in and it starts out being about the Lord or friendship, and it goes into a situation that causes adultery, it's not going to be this, oh, now you can divorce and we can get married. That doesn't happen. This has just happened recently to a really big name in the church. I'm not going to say the name. And it was just like, well, it's happened, and now we're divorced, and, you know, now I'm married to this other person. Everybody has to accept this. What does God say? How does God see it? Has it been real repentance? See, we need to have the fear of the Lord not to let these things happen. We need to have the fear of the Lord not to be part of that. We need to make sure we're getting our needs met in Christ and not in somebody else's spouse, not in somebody else's wrong relationship. You need to be very careful that you're not talking about any of your personal problems with your own husband or your own wife with someone of the other gender. I don't talk to men in this church about their wives. Sometimes they try to get me to. I don't. I will send them to Steve, or to Nilo, or to a man in this church who I know loves his wife, understands God's word, and he's not going to sit there and agree with you against your wife. We are not to be a people. Now remember this. Remember what the word says. The Lord says, what God has put together, let no one pull apart. That's not a little thing. It's not something you can quickly repent of. It's something that's going to have consequences.